First of all, we'd like to have you experience a, in summary form, a feel of what you said totally as new supervisors last night and your expectations of your role or task as a supervisor. And we'd like to share a little bit with you from the seminary's perception of that task, some more general kinds of expectations. And then in the latter part of this first time slot, to go over the report forms that are in the back of your manual. So that's why you need manuals this morning. In past years, our experience was that this particular job was neglected, and we have a real need on this end in the use and the purpose of the report forms, as you have to do that job three times in a year. So we'll try to talk about that a little bit. All right, briefly, you recall that the first question you were asked to respond to last night was, what offhand are the services you expect a vicar to perform or to assist you in the services in your congregation? And as one might expect, you pretty well covered the waterfront. In general terms, a goodly number of you used the general phrase of assisting in the pastoral load. Then the more predominant services were preaching and liturgy, from regular once a month preaching to a couple of you who said every other week, and in special services during Advent and Lent, to even two men who have the expectation of their vicar preaching every Sunday, mostly because of their particular situation. In liturgy and worship, to assist in worship, some have the expectation of contemporary services for their youth, to plan the worship program, to assist in its development, phrases like that. Youth emphasis, sort of, I don't know if it surprised us, it's been a kind of a common thing, but there was a strong thread through everybody's expectation of youth emphasis, developing programs, being in charge of the program, advisor to the youth, resource person, that kind of range of language. In Christian education and teaching, always involved teaching confirmation class, Sunday school teachers usually, and variant other tasks of Christian education. One was in charge of VBS. I suppose some of you may also do that who just didn't think of it. Another dominant area was pastoral care, hospital shut-ins, membership calling. And evangelism was a rather strong thrust, ranging from delinquents to all types of prospect calls and so on. Few mentioned administration, which had such things in it as newsletters, bulletins, attending meetings, and the like. Two mentioned had a specific expectation in terms of counseling, and two in groups, and three men involved in some type of campus experience. Now, a few specific random statements also made. Be available to people. Sharing yourself as a person with the pastor as a person, study time in devotions, time for self and marriage, in other words, for the vicar, I guess, to take time for himself and marriage, to experience that kind of thing of family being important, to attend circuit and district meetings, to use this year of the vicarage as a bridge to a team ministry of an associate or assistant the following year, to free the pastor for other duties. A couple of you specifically mentioned that. To explore new mission possibility and campus work as a possibility in conjunction with the total program. To specifically add expectations of being involved in radio devotions. One mentioned PR work. One had an interesting one of developing a form of preaching along with the elders different from what the pastor does. One mentioned leisure ministry. Okay. The second question had to do with what sort of things about ministry, overall and specifics, do I expect my vicar to learn? And here you really think, just listen to some of these statements. We didn't put these in any order or try to group these. To learn every facet of pastoral ministry. If I can read my writing. To shift the areas of planned concentrations or responsibilities in different areas periodically throughout the year. That might be more the how of learning, now that I think of it. To learn the joys and frustrations of ministry. Must have come through about again and again. That means these guys got joys and frustrations. To be an underling. To learn to be an underling to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. To learn about team ministry in Christ. To learn a model of administration from the administration of my congregation. May not like some things, may like other things, it was said. To learn an awareness of God's guiding hand. To learn that the ministry is very real, exciting, and worth the effort. To learn to minister to people where they are. That was specifically mentioned half a dozen times in different ways. To learn the real joy in working with people, the sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that brings. Half a dozen men specifically said that in one way or another. To learn that the ministry is hard work and how to do it. To learn self-discipline, sensitivity, particularly, it was mentioned several times, sensitivity to people, to be in touch with their feelings, to learn people as people, to learn the power of positive thinking, to love unlovable people, people, that kind of thing was just coming through again and again. To learn to accept success or failure, and have the opportunity to fail, that was pointed out specifically three times. To learn to be open and creative, both theologically and personally. To learn racial and cultural context and exposure, specifically two times. To learn to relate to people and their ideas and feelings. To establish rapport with people. To establish priorities was mentioned specifically by three. Self, family, congregation was even more specifically laid out there. How to stay out of trouble. to put theory in practice. To care about people and their problems. To have a better feel for ministry. To learn the needs of people in crisis and to have compassion for them. To learn effective planning and evaluation. To learn from each other. To learn to care and have a concern for each other, for each person, individual. To have confidence, to try your theological wings, to keep renewing yourself, dynamics of shared ministry, to not have all the answers, how to relax. It's quite a range. Very interesting experience for us. Now, in addition to that, on every one of those, these are the skills, ability to consult, to preach, to teach, that whole gamut was mentioned specifically, and we're not going to summarize all those. As in addition, there were some very personal qualities that I think are involved in all these other statements of faithfulness, humility, loyalty, self-discipline, I mentioned before, flexibility, but they weren't... That was only in a few cases where those kinds of statements were made. Now, the final one was how do I hope to be helpful in the learning process? A few of you said that you'd like to have formal meeting times, maybe weekly conferences. Some said daily. Some said that would take place in their staff meetings. And then, again, an equal number specifically said they would like to do this through the more informal process as we pass each other each day. We'll get back to that again later on in our discussions the next couple of days, this particular kind of question. To have suggested readings, which we get together and discuss, Again and again, the word availability was used, to be available, to explain the whys and wherefores of our program, to provide the opportunity for input by the vicar and the planning in our ministry, as he sees his ministry, to share regularly. The word observation came through in different ways many times, to show him how, to structure his experience, to provide opportunity for variety, to set good study habits, periodic meetings, study and prayer and discuss, first-hand experience, scheduling and planning, feedback of assignments and then evaluate, to set aside special times together, to give assignments and expect reports, to share yourself and your experiences of ministry. Again, daily contact, discussion, advice, modeling, setting a good example was mentioned specifically by three men, to get him into CPE, to use case studies and verbatims, to assign, trust, talk, be a reflector, evaluator in his experience. To encourage him in his strengths and help him in his weaknesses, to give praise and commendation, to listen to him, to recognize his gifts and limitations and help him become aware and in touch with them, to share the study of his sermons, to discuss his contacts with people, to give some independence, to lead, succeed, and fail by loving him, to be a pastor to him, a teacher, a friend, to be supportive, honest, open, direct, to help evaluate himself. It was very, very, very good. When you put it all together, you realize what you all said is sort of overwhelming. And we'll try to come back to it again. But that's an interesting experience to us, and we wanted to share it with you. What you said, as men who, some of you have been supervisors and who are anticipating this task.
Okay, I guess you've described the perfect or near perfect supervisor, or almost, and we're not perfect. That's where this conference comes in, and we hope to fill you in to equip you just that way. Just follow the thread of what we've been trying to do thus far. We started with where you are, at least I hope we have, to give you an opportunity to say what your expectations are of the program, you and your congregation. And then we moved on last night to put you together with students so that you could hear a little bit about their expectations of the vicarage program. Now, the seminary has a little something to do with this, too, as you might guess. And we have a few expectations. Most of those expectations are really found in here, though we must confess the manual has gotten a little old. The substance is still important. The theory is still good. And basically, I would say those are our expectations indeed. But let's make them a little more, let's give some general expectations at this time. And then as the week develops, we are going to zero in more specifically on individual expectations. Thus, the hour after coffee break will be devoted to what is expected at the very beginning, off to a good start. And then we zero into certain specifics on preaching and teaching, counseling we've already had. So in a general way, let me say this. I'd like to give you just a few facts about vicarage as we, seminary, see it. The idea of vicarage is certainly something unique in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It grew up like Topsy. It was an emergency measure at one time, but those of you who have been out on vicarage, and I guess that's all of us at one time or another, or those of you who have had vicars in the past, realize that we're taking the whole idea more and more seriously all the time as being an important year of theological education. Our vicarages are basically parish. There are very few non-parish vicarages. other than a few experimental ones here and there. You heard leisure ministry mentioned. We've had motorcycle ministry. We have a Spanish Chicano ministry in San Antonio going on. We have summer ministries in national parks. There are huge varieties of ministries, but basically the vicarage is spent in connection with the parish. I think you should know the part that you and your congregations and the other 250 congregations in Synod are doing. This is like $1.5 million to $1.75 million dollar program each year. That's what it costs, the congregations pool together. So that you are, in a sense, really contributing a big part to theological education, just money-wise, to say nothing about skill-wise. I might say at this time, too, that this is the first year, as long as I can remember, that vicarages and requests just about evened out. This was a phenomenon this year that we had just almost exactly enough requests to match the amount of vicars that we had available. A year ago, we had 93 more requests than we had vicars and had a lot of disgruntled pastors, some of whom were turned down for the second year in a row and were not assigned a vicar. So what do we as a seminary expect? Well, we expect our church to find good places for the vicarage situation to happen. And we do indeed value the ratings of district presidents. They do rate you, at least tell us a little bit about you, as to whether this would be a good place to have a vicar. And of course, since you love your district president and he loves you, it's all good. But they do try to characterize the church and also predict, will this be a good place? Vicarage to us is service slash ministry slash learning. We could put them in either order. This is the first time that a student has gone out and really in depth connected himself with a congregation. Up to this point, it's been rather theoretical. It's been in books. It's been in classroom. It's been with a limited amount of resident field education, though we're making more and more of this all the time. Vicarage, as the seminary sees it, is then indeed third year of theological education out there in the field. Your church, your community, your office, your hospitals that you serve, your institutions, the homes of your members, this is the classroom where it's going on. This is where the learning is taking place. But it is important that learning indeed does take place. The vicar is an unordained person at this time, and we'll talk about official acts later, so that he is still a seminary student in training. We see vicarage as being a young man who is a theological student out there, indeed, serving the Lord with gladness, we hope, assisting a pastor, namely you, but he is not the assistant pastor. There are certain restrictions which we will talk about later. Vicarage, as the seminary sees it, is a third-year student full of a lot of idealism and enthusiasm, and don't turn that off. That's good. It may not all work, but we want that kind of enthusiasm to show. And that idealism is really great and can do something also for you who might be caught in a rut of just doing things over and over and over because you've done them so long. So in addition to vicarage then as being serving and being the first time, a first full year of full-time service, and Vic, or was it Bob Werbrig said, the first time maybe that a seminarian, believe it or not, has really related to a pastor very closely. Vicarage also now is learning as we see it. For this year, successfully completed, 25% of the seminary program now, the vicar is granted a certain amount of academic hours of credit. He cannot graduate without having had a successful vicarage. Unless he gets an okay from you to me, to the registrar here and at Springfield, he cannot possibly receive his diploma. That's how important the year is. In our case, he receives 18 hours of academic credit, and it is required. Other seminaries of the LCA, some of them make it an optional thing. Here, it's that strong and that forceful that it's a must. And thus far, there's been no rebellion against it, and we hope there never will be, because we think it's a good thing. We see the year of vicarage, then, as learning by doing theology in the context of real people, as aforesaid, in the field out there. It's learning about self as a person in relation to people. When we get to reports later on, and that will be coming shortly, you will note that the first report is on the vicar as a person, relating to persons, which we consider extremely important. It's a training of the self also as a professional person, and also training of the vicar in his skills. Vic and I spent a long time looking through what you wrote yesterday, and I suppose we were particularly interested on how you answered the third section. How does that learning take place? Here there are certain processes and skills for you as supervisor that we hope to help you to develop in the course of these next few days. Some of you touched on them. Many of you did not. And we hope that this is the area that we can build up, because the seminary looks upon you as being a very responsible person. If it's true, and it is, that vicarage is 25% of seminary education, that means that you are, in a sense, a professor in charge of a student for a whole quarter of his theological learning, 25% of the time. You are listed as adjunct to faculty. In fact, in both of our catalogs, you are listed right after the faculty. So that, in a sense, you are faculty, and the link with the faculty at our seminaries to communicate back and forth. We look upon your role, then, as supervisor, as being of utmost importance, and that's what this conference is really all about. That the learning take place not just by happenstance, or by just experience, or just by turning a young man loose and saying, we provide the field, you do the learning. We feel that there are certain skills, certain processes that should take place. And so I'm going to say, the seminary sees vicarage as including you to give good, planned supervision. You are a key person in this entire program, together with the congregation. You've already heard a lot about relationships, and I'm not going to go further into that. It will be touched on more by John Costello, and shortly also by Carl Sachleben. The matter of the role of each will be touched upon. Reporting will be touched on shortly, right after this presentation, and its necessity also as a learning device. So the seminary, let me say, looks upon vicarage as being a way in which we can get feedback on the whole man in the course of a given year. There's a responsibility also here with regard to your congregation. And I want to mention at this time that those contracts we handed out yesterday are really an agreement between your congregation, with you as a signator, and one of the Concordia seminaries. That's where the contract is. And so you are really receiving a student who still remains a student at Concordia Seminary for a period of a year under a contractual arrangement to do a certain job for that period of a year. Technically, the student has nothing to do, even though he signed the contract. It is a contract of Concordia Seminary with you as congregation to do the job that you have agreed to do for that important third year of seminary. So we have responsibilities also over against the congregation and over against you, even as your congregation and you have, we hope, very pleasant responsibilities over against us. Vicarage, very definitely, from the seminary viewpoint, includes then one of our field education people in relation to you. If nothing else is accomplished at a conference such as this, and I hope that much, much, much more than that will be accomplished, and surely will, we hope that we get to know one another a little better. We hope that you'll feel free to communicate with us in moments of need, to share with us not all your problems, but if there's a real problem, that you'll feel free to talk to us brother to brother, because you see, we stand here at the seminary as being responsible agents for that year, the whole third year, and we look to you constantly to fill us in. As far as, without going into any further depths, this is how we as a seminary see Vicarage. Our expectations, I don't think, are unreal. We hope they're very realistic. We hope that we can impress upon you the importance of that which you're doing and the importance of that year. And at the same time, we know and feel for you in your situation. I want to say it early enough in the program. You're going to hear so much in the course of these 3 days that you're even going to wonder, can I, a busy pastor, who am looking for a little help, do all the things that are being expected of me as supervisor? Well, the answer is, I'm sure, no. If you were to take that list that Vic had, there isn't a man in this room that could do all those things. But we think you can do many of them. And above all, we think that you can do the task, and that's our seminary expectation of you, that you can do the task of being an effective supervisor.
Regarding this link, the question that was just asked brings to mind, is it assumed that if your vicar is a Springfield vicar, the link is with the field director of Springfield?
Right.
And think what
right. And of course, that can alternate each year, or every 2 years, yes. Please.
Just in regard to how wonderful we are as supervisors, for the list, and realizing that the majority of supervisors who have this kind of training at a school in some time, how come that all the fourth year men, not all, but so many fourth year men come back with, oh, I had a lousy vicarage? What happens along the line? Don't we live up to it, or?
All right. Yeah, there are some lousy vicarages. They do happen. Most of them, I'd say, are a matter of the very first thing that Ed Winters zeroed in on yesterday, and that's relationships. And if that relationship isn't well established and doesn't work throughout the entire year, it's a lousy vicarage. Or it can happen that some can come to a conference and look in the mirror and forget what manner of man they were, you know, and go back and do just as they've always done. I don't think there are that many lousy vicarages. Now, I have to face up to this all the time. There are undoubtedly a few. What happens, there's a phenomenon on campus when guys get back. The first week already, I'll tell you, they swap stories. And I suppose the ones that are negative are the ones that are heard, and one tries to tell a better one than the next. And second-year men pick it up, and they think, oh my gosh, what am I facing next year? But I honestly believe that the vast majority of vicarages have been Very good. Well, Springfield agrees with that. As I look over last year, I had a lot of satisfaction out of a vast majority of reports.
Depends on how you define a good victory.
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
I came up at our evaluation session the first quarter with my victory. He was very much concerned about grades. He's an academic sort of person, and you mentioned the 18 quarter-hour credit that is there. I wish you would sort of define this a little bit in terms of if there are any standards that we should go by, and keeping this in mind, the relationship that I, as supervisor, and my vicar have is pretty much a real close relationship. We're very honest with each other, and there's this undercurrent of what about my grades?
All right, we'll touch on that, I'm sure, under reporting, but just a quick answer. There is no grade on Vicarage, no academic grade. He only is given 18 hours of ungraded credit. It's pass or fail. Okay? Please?
To what extent have you prepared the Vicarage, or the Vicar, for meeting up as we are being prepared out to meet him? How many hours have you spent talking to the client? And here's what you're going to have to meet up with. Here's how you should operate.
This would vary between the seminaries, I'm sure. I can speak only for us. We have individual interviews. There are report backs and second interviews if desired. We had group meetings through the fall and into the winter of the year of an hour and a half each, which each student theoretically attended only once, you know, only one of those. And then a one-hour convocation in spring, where some of these things are said, and that's about it. We could possibly do much more, but we have found it rather difficult to come up with a course, you know, on Vicarage. Couldn't have it. Springfield, do you want to answer that, Vic, or John?
Well, we have a little bit different process of, or have had, we're changing it again. We've had interviews in depth from the time the student begins, so that process is similar to yours. And we have taken about, in the second year, a couple months before assignments are made, and following assignments in March, about 9 to 12, we have what we call communications hour on Friday. And we've met with that class and discussed quite a few things regarding Vicarage to prepare them in a general way, and mostly to listen to them and their questions and get a feel for where they're at, some of their fears and frustrations and things that they've heard, to sort of set that into a perspective of reality from our experience. Because they do have an awful lot of scuttlebutt that's fed from fourth-year men and around the campus, and they begin to believe this. They get very paranoid about it when it gets close to assignment. but we could do a lot more, and we've talked about the kinds of things we're going to be talking today, John and Carl particularly, this afternoon, about what is supervision and the skill involved in that. We're trying to give them a little bit more theoretical understanding of that task that they're going to experience in you as a supervisor, or may experience in you as a supervisor. And we're doing more, I'm getting a little ahead of the game, in that whole message. John's been going out in the field this last year to various metropolitan areas and pulling vicars and supervisors who together and doing that training. So it's a process, you know, a combination of different methods of going in, but
let's say a little more is probably being done nowadays, much more possibly at Springfield than when you and others of us went to the seminary. They also get a manual.
Well, I think we have to add too that they have experienced supervision. They've experienced it at the parish level, and they are involved in parish field education. They've involved it at an institutional level, that is, at the hospital, and the chaplain supervisors there. They experience it in the classroom as they teach instructor. So they do have models of supervision. They have sat with their supervisor to reflect on the work that they've done. But there's a wide range of the supervision, from very loose supervision to very tight supervision, just as there'd be a wide range of supervision here in this room. So you may get a student who has experienced very tight supervision in the past and will come with that kind of an expectant model with you, and you might be hearing some of that. Others may have come with a very loose model of field education supervision, and therefore would, you know, you might hear some tension in that. But they have experienced supervision, and I think that's an important fact.
Right, very good. Thank you. Please.
Perhaps you will be entering into this, but I'm interested in their own understanding of this pastor-parish relationship in terms of influence. Now, we obviously are putting strong emphasis here upon the vicar-pastor relationship very much in terms of the supervisory role, etc. And I can recall from my own experience that much of the evaluation in terms of good or bad was made on the basis of this pastor-vicar relationship, and the de-emphasis was in the area of vicar parish relationships. Now, will you have opportunity to make comment in this area? In other words, the vicar's understanding of his relationship to the parish specifically, as he relates not just to the supervisor, because obviously there are parish situations that vary socially.
Okay, perhaps Vic will pick that up in the report forms that are coming.
I've got a section.
And John has a section also. Okay. One more, and then we probably should move on, right? Okay.
Realize the problem they're having that in June when school is out, but I'd like to suggest perhaps it be during the school year. I was real disappointed when I discovered my vicar wouldn't be here, and that some of these beginning relationships in an informal, non-stress situation could begin right here, and I see a lot of value in that kind of thing.
You're right. The problem is one of scheduling and housing and academics going on. But it is one we can certainly bear in mind. It's been suggested before. I guess we don't quite know how to handle it. So, okay, thank you. Vic, on reports.
If you have your folders with you, and would turn to, or the manual, but we included the supervisor's reports. They follow that first section of blue pages, I guess, the ones I'm talking about. Right after the program, you have some samples of report two for vicars at the Springfield, second report, and then final report for vicars from St. Louis, and then the white sheet. You'll turn it. Instructions for filling out comprehensive vicarage report forms. Following that's an evaluation guideline and then a sample of the form itself with numbers and so on. It's in the back of your manual, too, the same set I'm talking about. Now, a few little bit of mechanics. We realize you men can read, but we want to reemphasize a few points. First of all, the dates that we've set up are rather important. December 15th is the first report, and that is the vicar as a person. And then at the six-month point, March 15th, the vicar's pastoral skills. And most important as far as, they're all important, but we realize, we want you to know, we understand what you're in at that time. You're in the Christmas season, Advent, December 15th. You're getting into Lent, March 15th, and, you know, they're not all in it on time. We understand that, but we still want that as a target date. But June 15th, is even more important. And that is perhaps the report that summarizes the total evaluation of that year, even though it's a nine-month report. Because at that point, we at the seminaries have to put together the evaluation of the total year. And we have to make, from our departments in field education, recommendations to the Board of Admissions, because every student is readmitted for that final year. And we do so, make that recommendation on the basis of the Vicarage year as it compares and is consistent with or contrary to our experience of the student in the first 2 years that we had him on campus. And the later that gets, if there's a problem involved in our recommendation that is kicked off from your final evaluation, where perhaps we'll take the more rare example where you have questions or conditions about answering the final question of the report form, do you recommend this man for ministry? At that point in his training, the conclusion of his third year, we ask that question at the end of the first year at the seminary, at the end of the second year, before he goes on in vicarage. Now we're asking the same question over again at the end of the third year in this four-year program. If it happens that we have some real questions, and then you start dealing with the student about that question of his not being readmitted to his final year, and you are involved as a professor with us in this because of the third year of training, it produces some problems on August 15th or August 30th to begin dealing with the problem, and for us to then be aware of that kind of recommendation. That's partly why we have the dates of December 15th, why we ask you to evaluate the vicar as a person first and not the skills at the end of 3 months. Because that's what we're certifying, a person for ministry. That's what our job is as a seminary, to equip, train, and the church is asking us on their behalf to certify and say, these men are ready to be ordained into the Holy Orders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're part of that process. And so December 15th gives us some clues. It's a communication device. Where is this man as you're experiencing him at the end of 3 months? And you've had quite a bit of experience to look at the kind of person he is, who is a man desiring the office of bishop. Final evaluation is where we put it all together. Now, the actual filling out of the form is done by using the evaluation guideline. You realize there are 23 statements. That, by the way, as an aside, was done, was it 5 years ago? We brought together students who had been on Vicarage, all had been on Vicarage, about five supervisors, and we spent a week intensively evaluating our old forms, and we completely revised these forms, and they've been very workable, not that they can't be improved or that these are perfect statements that communicate everything and are exactly what we mean. They're guideline evaluation statements, and they are considered to be an attainable goal or optimum kind of statement. And when I was a vicar, they had one on the zero scale, very negative statement, and then this, highest attainable optimum or something like that. We put a goal here, and in relation to that, you evaluate the man. That's a rather subjective thing, because it's, you're looking at it through your eyes, and that's fine. Don't underestimate that. Now, we're going to come back to these statements or these areas a little bit, but as you do this task, you're doing it on NCR paper, and you have a copy, and you send a copy to us. The most important thing in this communication device is as you read through those statements, you evaluate the student, and you notice on the form there's a 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 rating, 4 being the highest. Very few people ever put zeros down, but they do put ones and twos. And in the first report, or when you're evaluating the vicar as a person, we've set up a, well, you see that box on the back side of instructions for filling out the form, where we've just set up standard quality point, letter grade, verbal evaluation, personal growth. Some people feel comfortable with an ABC, excellent, good, fair kind of thing, but when you're rating the person, it's very hard to do that with neat categories of grades. We suggest that you look at the language of personal growth, exceptionally strong and effective, acceptable, deficient, very deficient. When you're looking at those statements, those 23 statements of the vicar as a person in relation to himself, to you as pastor and bishop, and to the congregation, others, his peers, pastors in the circuit, and the like. When you get into skills, it's a little bit easier. If you're more comfortable thinking A, B, C, and that kind of a thing, or excellent, good, use whatever you want to rate his abilities, his strengths, his weaknesses in administration, preaching, teaching, and the like. But you circle a number to give us a feel, to communicate how you see that man's abilities at that point. It's 3 months, 6 months. Again, the final one is pretty important. A longer period has gone by in your relationship. More time for observation, evaluation, and communicating that with him. The thing that is really helpful to us, and I would certainly personally like to push it, I know it takes a little work or time, but that box that's underneath on the form, like in relation to self, says additional comments on strengths and weaknesses in relation to self. I have a hard time understanding why some supervisors cannot fill in his summary, some statements or words of how he has experienced the vicar as a person, even if those adjectives above, his self-discipline, he's excellent, he's very consecrated, prepared, or whether you want to repeat some of those words or give examples of how you've experienced that, or where his weaknesses, points of growth are. That's something that really is helpful and most helpful to us at the seminary as we look at it. Just to add up numbers is a game you can play. And we don't play that game. Say, well, there's so many twos, so therefore he's there, and he was about a B student at the seminary, so, well, okay. That's not what we're in. But we have a need, and I'm trying to communicate that to you, for you to sort of explain and expand a little bit to let us know how you are experiencing that student, apart from how we did, because it's a completely different kind of evaluation than we are able to give. We don't live with this man day in and day out and how he functions with people in all kinds of situations and crisis and so on. We don't have that advantage that you do. Then the other thing that I want to stress, in addition to the making comments, or you can write an additional page if this box is inadequate. We don't care. But to communicate a little bit more for our needs, so that when we get down again, if I may repeat myself, to that final time, when we make comparisons to patterns we've observed in this student, how we see his strengths and weaknesses and abilities, we can make a comparison. We can see whether, yeah, that's consistent. He's growing. We discover some things we could never have discovered the seminary that you experienced. But when you get down to reporting this, we feel that you need to sit down with that vicar and share with him that evaluation. Hard as that may be for you as a person, that sort of relates a little bit to that question Ed Winters asked yesterday, is how do you feel about yourself being that authority? And the students certainly have that perception that if I don't please the bishop, he can really
can really zonk me if he writes Lessman or Bowman and gives me a bad report, and he plays that game of cooperate and graduate, as they do at the seminary sometimes. And so they have an expectation of fear and a lot of other feelings about this evaluation thing. In view of those guys back at the seminary, in view of my getting into the ministry, they live with all kinds of things that I personally feel are unreal, but they're real to them. Now, we ask, therefore, we send to the vicar a report form for him to fill out, to send to us. We send him the same thing we send to you. In other words, he gets a copy of this same report form. It's a different color sheet or something. And he's asked to look at the same thing. How does he see his own consecration, preparation, social graces, according to these statements? He's to do that on himself. You are to do that. And then the idea that is a gimmick in a way to help you sit down and talk about those things. It's very interesting when a bishop and a vicar get together and say, well, I rated you a one there because, and he rated himself a four. And say, well, I don't understand, you know, and you get that kind of thing going, and that's where really a lot of things can happen. Anyhow, I think we need to stress to you again the importance of that sharing, this evaluation, that critique. We're going to come back to that a little later on and try to be helpful to you in that process. Anyhow, keep a file for yourself and send us that report or communication. And I think the reading and all the other mechanics are rather obvious, aren't they? All here you fellas can read. You note that the final question I referred to before is, do you recommend this man for the ministry? I want to emphasize again that, and maybe try to free you, you are not passing or failing the vicarage. By your comments, your grades, and you're going to feel some of that when you have a bad situation or where there's a real question there. Now you're feeling that. But the responsibility for passing or failing the vicarage is our responsibility. The certification finally becomes the whole faculty, that process, and we make recommendations, but we don't have that kind of power that you know, eliminates a man or whatnot that a lot of students think we have. But you are saying at that point in that man's life, can I see this man entering the pastoral ministry? And not trying to answer the question, oh yeah, if it's in that kind of situation, in just that kind of people. You can say that if yes, into what type of parish or their ministry should he place. That's helpful to us in the placement process. But it's not your responsibility to do placement, to say, I can recommend him if and if and if and if. And then we aren't communicating, and then we have problems on our end, just to be honest with you and share the kinds of things that we can get into. But I'd like to free you from that thing, because a lot of bishops I've experienced, not a lot, but some naturally get into that problem of guilt and so forth, say, well, I don't want to be the guy who says no to this fellow for ministry. Well, I can appreciate that feeling, because I never felt it so much when I came to the seminary, that different kind of responsibility of that the church puts on you, and only on you, the faculty, for them to say, this man is ready to go into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod clergy ministry. That's a weighty, hard thing. But we need to face that responsibility squarely. So we need honest evaluation, your experience, of that man. And that's very important to us. Can't emphasize it enough. I don't know. Is there any more comments on the general things about reports, Paul or John?
Probably a lot of questions.
Okay. Dave?
I have a question here about how you rate the guy in place of being, say, strong and effective or acceptable and efficient in relationship to whom? To yourself, to
say you look around at the general run of the mine pastor who's
dogging it, mediocre. Is that acceptable or deficient? What may be strong and effective to me may be deficient to somebody else.
I realize
that. Really bothers,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What I can throw one thing in there is that I would be evaluating in relation to himself as I see his abilities, potentials, how he uses his gifts and his limitations. You have to pick out probably a concrete word, I suppose, that we would pick out one that we would be evaluating.
Well, let's say in his exegesis and preaching.
Okay. Skill area.
If he exegesis like 3/4 of the pastors in 70, he's deficient.
Okay. That's where the subjectivity comes in. You're going to have to struggle with that thing of how you're a pastor. You've been doing exegesis for so many years, and you may see yourself as a dud at it, not very good. I suppose that's going to enter into it too, isn't it? How you evaluate yourself in all of these statements. That's what I hear, Bishop. You know, you can hardly evaluate him if you're not evaluating yourself on these statements. So that's going to be there. I guess it's going to be there for some of you men who had a vicar last year. You make a comparison to the guy last year. I would try to avoid that because he's different than the guy last year. But you can't help bringing that into it because you had that experience of the man a year ago. I don't know how you divide it all up and say there's neatly these kinds of things to get a control over not being subjective. And in relation to what? The relation to what are the statements, as objectively as you can do that. That's your guide. The rest of the things are going to be there. But that's valid. That's your experience of it. We've had some. So there's all kinds of people God's using. It's not just the whole burden isn't on you, but that's legitimate. Your evaluation at that time, how you see it, not how Joe Blow sees it or anybody else. You're going to use your people feedback. They're going to be involved in that. Say, you know, they tell you, Pastor LeVickers, he's way over my head preaching. Why? You know, that's going to end.